Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Did you like that? A wee bit of bluegrass from a band called the Low Country Boys, from County Down here where I live. I'm Billy O'Beggan Swarry. I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to our new Fresh Bread series, Your Kingdom Come, based on my recently published book, The Whore and Her Mother. Some of you in Ireland may remember me as the editor of Bread, the former Irish Christian magazine, and also from our book, published back in 1995, Ireland Now the Good News. Since those days, my wife Jerry and I were involved in building up and pastoring a cell-based Christian fellowship in the Greater Belfast area here in Northern Ireland, under the heading of Kingdom Come Trust. We spent that time working with some very broken people, coming from every kind of difficult background, and saw quite a number of people make that initial commitment to the Lord, and then grow steadily in knowledge of Him. We have seen the Lord demonstrate His power in transforming lives, healing bodies, in one instance even replacing tissue which was no longer there, delivering from long-established habits and addictions, and also in miraculous provision. During that time we also experienced considerable opposition from the enemy, disappointments, heartbreak, and even the deaths of some of our members. I had the unfortunate duty of speaking at a couple of funerals under pretty tragic circumstances. We have been involved in organising and leading a number of weekend retreats, as well as leading worship in our own fellowship at other churches and inter-church events. For a good few years, the Lord has been focusing us both on writing, and myself particularly on music and media, and on travelling and ministering to a wider spectrum of God's kingdom. For more than 3 years now, I've produced and hosted the Celtic Roots radio show, which is downloaded in over 100 countries, and another show called In the Name of God, which consists of music, news and faith-based interviews, broadcasting on satellite radio to most of the world. In recent months, I've felt a sense of urgency to get on and finish this book, The Whore and Her Mother, subtitled 9/11, Babylon and the Return of the King, and now available on Amazon and Kindle worldwide, plus W.H. Smith, Waterstones, the Book Depository, etc. I've been researching this material off and on for 40 years, but 9/11 was a great catalyst to go back and research in greater depth. In the end, I wrote the book in just 4 months, with a lot of encouragement from my wife and other friends. You may feel a bit uncomfortable with its title, but it was written with a wide range of readers in mind. Anyone who believes or even suspects that there is a creator in control of this universe, not just for a Christian audience. Before we begin on the book itself, we're going to hear a wee bit of music from former Belfast man Sammy Horner and Will You Come.
How will you come? Will you walk? Will you join me on this journey? A journey that will learn how the other saints have tried. Will you come? Will you walk? Will you join me on this journey? Will you make it your ambition to spread the light of God?
I suppose as with the assassination of John F. Kennedy, most people can remember exactly what they were doing when they heard the news of the 9/11 attacks. I certainly remember exactly what I was doing. I'd spent a couple of hours earlier out in the bay with my little grandson, fishing from my dinghy, and we just arrived at the nearby boatyard to continue work on rebuilding my wooden boat. I was working on the roof of the boat in the sunshine when another boat owner told me to turn on the news. Thinking that it was something related to Northern Ireland politics, I turned on the radio to discover the awful truth. Shortly after I began to follow the story, came the news that the South Tower of the World Trade Center had completely collapsed. Later they reported that the North Tower had also collapsed. Back at home, and at the house of friends later that evening, we watched over and over the television footage of those terrible events. I found it difficult to believe that what we were being shown was not a movie, but a real life happening. Real people had died in thousands. We watched those real human beings who'd been alive and well earlier that day, leaping from an impossible height to certain death. One minute they were busy at their normal jobs at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, or beginning a plane journey. The next minute their lives were over. How could this happen? Why would God allow it to happen? Yes, I believe in God. I think many in New York and Washington that day also found a sudden renewal of their faith. But what had just happened reminded me of a difficult time in my own life and that of my family just a few years before. During a particularly tense time in Northern Ireland, there was a lot of suppressed anger ready to overflow, and my home came under attack several times. Teenagers and young adults would gather at the side of our house and begin to shout abuse. Suddenly, there was a sound of bricks and stones crashing through our kitchen window. It felt as if Satan himself had entered our house. My wife and I and our two young daughters knelt together and prayed in our living room. We had to acknowledge that, even though we couldn't understand it, God had, for some inexplicable reason, allowed this to happen to us. We didn't complain to him and ask why. We simply accepted that he had allowed this and asked for his protection in the future and his guidance for us. After the events of 9/11, I suppose I expected George W. Bush, the US president, and a self-confessed evangelical Christian, perhaps to call a national day of repentance, prayer and fasting, asking for future protection and guidance for America. For surely God had allowed this disaster to happen for some purpose. In the end, only one plane was thwarted, and the brave passengers sacrificed their own lives in order to prevent the attack on the White House and the president. However, I saw no sign of any national repentance. I saw a president saddened, but determined to hold the moral high ground and defiant towards the perpetrators, declaring war on the terrorists. There is no doubt that what the 9/11 perpetrators did was an evil act, but that does not answer the question as to why the world's most powerful nation was powerless to prevent such an attack. Why did the security forces of the most powerful nation on earth not detect at least some of the teams about to wreak such havoc on American citizens? I can only repeat that for his own reasons, God allowed this to happen. Why did God not bless America, or at least avert the curse, when so many Americans have asked him to do so? If that is the case, then it would seem to me to be very important to find out why he did not prevent it. Could it actually have been an act of mercy, allowed as a warning of possible greater future judgment? Perhaps it would be worthwhile to inquire of the old Hebrew prophets, who foretold many other events of worldwide importance, and particularly in relation to what they referred to as the end times. Is there anything in their writings to refer to such events? Can we trust what they've written? If so, what else do they foretell? Should we pay any attention to their words? Bear with me then, for these questions are exactly what I hope to answer within these pages.
Never had a lot of money, never won the lottery, no silver spoon of milk and honey. They took his life at 33, they took his life at 33. Didn't see an easy life, no kids, no car, no doting wife. They tore his robes, they rolled the dice. At 33 they took his life, at 33 they took his life. Herod's crown, the Roman Empire, all the pomp and pageantry, scribes and scholars would conspire with, convicted on a man-made tree, the son of man at 33. Healer of the brokenhearted, poor in spirit, though I be a restless wind and twice as hungry to follow love where she might lead, just a man of 33. And would the living ever guess a more unlikely hero see? Would anyone say that he was blessed as he hung upon that tree? Now those in power might use his name to silence those who don't agree, to seal their wars, to settle scores, 70 he did not see. He took his life at 33. In this land of saints and scholars, this Bible belt is choking me. Upon the trees they nail his words to, but some words you'll never see, like love your enemies. But maybe I don't understand, I'm just a man, I'm just a man of, I'm just a man of 33.
That was Richard Kilpin from County Donegal with Man of 33, and he wrote that song when he was 33. Introduction. This book is aimed at Christians, nominal, traditional, Catholic, Orthodox or Evangelical, Jews, religious and non-religious, Muslims, Sunni or Shia, anyone from any religion or none who has a certain belief or even suspicion perhaps that there is a benign intelligence out there who rules over the affairs of this universe and who ultimately cares about the future of the people who inhabit it. I believe in such a God, creator of all that we can see or know. I believe he is a personal God, and that he loves what he has created, especially man, whom he created in his own image. I believe, and I hope to convince you also, that this God is all-powerful, can see the end from the beginning, and has a purpose and a plan in all that we can see happening in the world around us. Furthermore, I believe that he has used the Hebrew prophets to give us advance warning of all that he plans to bring about in this world. The prophecies found in the Hebrew Tanakh, Old Testament, or Torah in Arabic, and also in the New Testament, Hebrew Brit Hadash, Arabic Injil, provide us with a lot of insight into the future of the nations. They also explain the reasons for what is happening now and what will come to be. These prophecies refer to a mystery end-time empire that will dominate all the other nations on earth, both economically and militarily. They describe this empire as opposed to the people of God, destroying the earth and guilty of much innocent bloodshed. These prophecies predict the sudden downfall and complete destruction of this empire and the escape of the survivors as refugees back to their own lands, including the land of Israel. They predict the appearance of another military empire which will replace the first, set up by the remaining most powerful nations and led by one man, often referred to as the Beast, who will rule the world with an iron fist and oppose the God of Heaven. He will lead the nations into a disastrous final battle against the city and people of Jerusalem, assembling their armies on a plain near the hill of Har-Megiddo, also known as Armageddon, in northern Israel. But can we put any trust in these old Hebrew prophets? Can we examine some of their prophecies that may have been fulfilled already, that may possibly provide a firmer basis for us to trust their other predictions? I believe that we can, and if you will bear with me for a while, I hope to show you that these men were indeed inspired by God, and that their words can be trusted to this day. I happen to come from a Christian background on the island of Ireland, where, over the past 30 years or so, many have lost their lives in what has appeared to be a dispute between two different branches of the Christian faith. At the age of 18, I first had contact with those of the other sort, as we would say, in other words, Roman Catholics. I found them to be different from what I had been led to expect, and that has taught me to question and re-evaluate what I have inherited and what I have been taught to believe. In the past, many evil things have been carried out upon other faiths in the name of one religion or another. Unfortunately, Christianity has not been an exception in this respect. In fact, many of the worst atrocities carried out, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, anti-Jewish pogroms, Native American and Aboriginal Australian genocides, the Nazi Holocaust, the Shoah, unfortunately were carried out in the name of Christianity upon Jews, Muslims and many native tribes. To all of those people who have suffered in the past in the name of Christianity, I would humbly ask for your forgiveness. The people who carried out these acts may possibly have been sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. There was no justification for these acts in the pages of the Bible or anywhere else. Most of them were not living a true Christianity at all, that is, based upon sound biblical teaching. But even if their motivation was something else, self-righteousness, greed, racism, hatred, fear, what they did was still done in the name of Christianity. And for that, those who are true Christians today need to take some responsibility and be willing to repent and to ask forgiveness. I certainly do, and I would encourage other believers also to do the same. My own background is in writing and broadcasting, and before that, in construction and computing. I tend to approach things from a construction perspective. I like to know how things fit together, how they relate to one another, the origins of words, language, phrases, etc. I hope to apply this analytical approach in the following chapters. The biblical phrase is rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope a certain logic comes across. Whether you are convinced by it or not is up to you, the individual. The Quran states that Christians and Jews are both people of the book. We share a history of respect for the Tanakh, or Torah, Old Testament, and the New Testament, Berit Hadash, Injil, and therefore for the prophecies of the ancient Hebrew prophets, but how many of us have actually read or studied their words? I'm not expecting that you will automatically swallow everything stated in these pages. All I ask is that you become a genuine seeker after the truth. I would request you to seriously examine every component, check out every connection and every conclusion drawn here. By all means, get hold of the original text or a computer online version, preferably in more than one translation, and look up each reference for yourself. Follow up the references to news and research documents using the bibliography at the end of the book. If you will not check out the evidence, you will only have yourself to blame if it turns out that what I am presenting to you is the truth. The Tanakh contains blessings upon all the children of Abraham, the sons of Ishmael or Ismail, as well as the sons of Isaac, Yitzhak, plus Abraham's six other sons. Both these sons are of great concern to the God of Abraham. He wants to bless both Ishmael and Isaac. The Hebrew Bible has been preserved through the Masoretic method of copying text, which has proved to be extremely accurate. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were unearthed by a Bedouin Arab boy in 1947, they were found to contain a complete copy of the Book of Isaiah, which is now on display in the Old City of Jerusalem. The Dead Sea Scrolls compare almost exactly with the present-day Tanakh, only a couple of yods, commas, of difference, which has been handed down for 2,000 years by the Masoretic method. Therefore, we can have confidence in this text. Likewise, the New Testament, Berit Hadash, Injil, is one of the most accurate documents we have in existence today. The Alpha Course videos, popular in many Christian denominations today, contain a lot of background on the New Testament documents. There are over 5,000 individual parchments relating to these books. This is far in excess of the evidence we have for Caesar's wars in Gaul or other events which we accept as historical fact. In my construction approach, I have tried to include verses from the Bible in their original context as much as possible. I'm not fond of the idea of basing an argument on one or two verses, perhaps taken out of context. I trust this does not make the book more difficult to read through, but rather more accurate. I've usually highlighted the main sections within these passages in order to make the meaning more obvious. I've placed together the majority of the relevant biblical passages concerning Mega Babylon in an online document and color-coded them for your convenience. Reading through these prophecies consecutively provides a clearer understanding of the cohesion between them. There is no substitute, though, for checking out the scriptures themselves. Reading through the prophets in the Tanakh and the prophetic passages in the New Testament, Gospels, the Revelation, etc. Although Jews and Muslims will obviously not view Yeshua, Jesus, or Isa in the same light as most Christians would, there is still, I hope, a regard for him as a Hebrew prophet and teacher, which should also apply to Rabbi Shaul, Paul, and to the Apostle John, Yohanan. We live in a very complex world whose future is now very uncertain. We really need to have something foundational in which we can put our confidence, on which we can base our faith. The problem might be that, like those who followed Joshua into the Promised Land all those centuries ago, we may then have to choose whom we will serve. But that will be up to you. I can only hope to present you with enough reasons to put your confidence in these men, who themselves, I believe, were inspired by the Spirit of God. If you find the evidence convincing, then what you do with that conviction will be on your own head. But at least I will have given you an opportunity to consider it. That was Dancing on the Wall from Celtic band Iona, the singer Joanne Hogg is from County Derry. If you want to get your own copy of the book we've been discussing, A Whore and Her Mother, go to preciousoil.com, preciousoil.com. Join us again next week for Chapter 1, Mega Babylon, Past or Present. Slán agus Balanchia. Bye and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.